You're with us for a Wisconsin weekend as we talk corn mazes. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. Winding trails, challenging puzzles, abrupt dead ends, spectacular aerial works of art. Maybe you prefer corn mazes with a cause like Govan's Farm in Menominee. The 11-acre maze says your life matters and has the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. What's the best corn maze you've ever been to? What's the most difficult corn maze you've ever done? How long did it take? Join in at 800-642-1234. Corn maze designer Angie Trinan is co-owner of Trinan Farm in Lodi, which is a 15-acre maze design. Angie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here.
Well, we've had a lot of rain in recent days. How has the flooding impacted your corn maze?
Our maze is kind of muddy. I mean, I think pretty much every corn maze at this point in Wisconsin is going to be, you know, somewhat muddy. But it's, it's still there. You can still wear your boots and head out. So
Boot up and head out.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin people, we can handle it. We can handle, you know, weather. We're good at that.
You've been designing corn mazes a long time, and let's start by talking about your maze design this year, which is cranes. What's the inspiration there?
Well, I'm a veterinarian, and I used to have a lot of biology training and a lot of, different species conservation, that kind of thing. It's always been an interest to me. And a couple things. One is that the International Crane Foundation, which is really interesting, does a really interesting work around the world in preserving cranes and their habitats, is just in Baraboo. It's really close to us, really close to, you know, Madison area. Also, we've got some cranes that nest on our farm every year, and they're just really fascinating birds. And every year we try to find a maze theme that gives us a lot to talk about, a lot that people might be interested in. And there's a lot of sandhill cranes around that, you know, people are kind of familiar with. So that's one of those are the basic reasons that we ended up with cranes as our maze design. They're also beautiful, and that's one of the things I want our mazes to be, is really, you know, visually striking, and with their wings and, you know, just gorgeous, you know, curves of their necks. And it was easy to make the maze look really nice with the cranes as the theme.
Lots of beautiful contours. Take us through the process of designing a maze. How do you make this artistry sculpted into the corn? How does that work?
Well, we start with, you know, what's the design going to be, or what the theme is going to be. And then I sit down, and it's really the most creative part of the process, is where I have to sort of craft that image. And I am a visual artist who works only in the medium of corn mazes, so that's my specialty. I do the design, some sketching to start with, but a lot in Adobe Illustrator as a design program. And then when I'm done with the design, which takes me about a full-time week of really focusing on that, I need the deadline in order to really focus my attention on it. So I start the maze design process when my husband, Alan, plants the corn, like the same day. I'm like, okay, now the clock is ticking, because about 10 days after he plants it, he's going to want the design. So his crew can cut it into the field. So I basically print out the design in kind of a large format paper so they can carry that around with them. I put a grid over the top of the maze pattern on paper. Alan actually plants the cornfield in a grid, so he's got rows going both ways, perpendicular to each other. Then when the corn is just coming out of the ground, you can see the rows really well. And you can kind of see this grid growing in the field.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. You just take the plan and go out, find a point corresponding to where the trail needs to be on the page, and they mark it on the ground and till out the trails. So, and it grows up.
Does Alan ever mess up? Do you ever have to redo any of the grids?
He calls it taking, like, artistic license. typically, I take my drone up pretty often during the maze cutting process, which helps to kind of catch little errors. But the crew really gets really good at doing things really precisely. Alan says that he wants those trails marked to within 6 inches of where, you know, would be the ideal. So because there's so many trails, that we have to make it really accurate, or the trails won't fit in the field.
We're talking with Corn Maze designer Angie Trinan of Lodi. Do you like to go to corn mazes at night to get a little scared, or do you prefer to stick with daytime corn mazes? Have you ever gotten lost in a maze? How did you find your way out? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Angie, about how long does it take to master your corn maze? How long will people take to get through it?
Well, we try to give people choices because it might be a really gorgeous day and your group is really up for an adventure. So we want to make sure you can spend several hours, like 2, 3, or more hours, investigating all the challenges we have. But we also want people who have a shorter time frame, or they've got young kids with them, or they want to, like, you know, make sure they experience the rest of the farm, to spend 45 minutes to an hour is kind of the initial level of challenge. So people can see how their group is doing and spend quite a bit of time or a little bit less time.
And then there's like a maze within a maze. You have a circle maze.
Well, so our main maze we want to make, you know, fairly challenging, but people come back year after year. And, you know, I had heard from some groups who were really good at it, like, oh, it's not hard enough. Well, you just happen to be really good at it. But then one group, I was just like, listen, okay, fine. Next year I'm going to make a super challenging extra maze. It'll be all circles. The circles tend to be pretty confusing, especially if they're, like, interlocking.
So yeah, because you just you keep walking around in circles. You're going to go mad.
Well, and the other thing is we don't give a map or any, like, clues to, like, how many circles. So you have to be pretty, like, focused and strategic about this. The goal in the circle maze is there's numbers on posts and we throughout the maze. And then we have people go in, find all the numbers, add them up, and bring it back to us. But we don't tell them how many numbers there are or if they're duplicates, and we do place them in kind of a confusing pattern, essentially. So people have to try really hard, which makes them feel really good when they do solve it or come close to solving it.
Do you have people who do end up solving the circle maze?
Some. Again, we don't want to frustrate people to the extent that they don't like it. But people like to be challenged. It's really absorbing, I think, as you come out and are trying to do all these challenges. It kind of helps you forget, like, the rest of your life and your phone and all the things that take our attention. And you have to really pay attention to what you're doing, and also to your group members.
We
encourage people to help each other out, you know, random strangers. Ask them how they're doing it, you know.
Right. It's a team effort. You've been designing these mazes since 2001, long time. Over the years, more than a decade, almost two decades, is there a particular maze that is still your favorite?
Well, in 2010, we did a gecko maze. So the main figure was a gecko. And the rest of the figures had kind of an M.C. Escher-like, you know, feel to them. They were tessellating forms where they would kind of interlock with each other. And there was something called Penrose tilings along the back of a gecko and fractals. So there was a lot of mathematical concepts in that maze. And that was pretty fun. People were really fascinated by that. But also, like, the unicorn maze we had in 2016, I don't know if we'll ever top that theme in the sense of intriguing people, because the title of that maze was Rainbows, Kittens, and Killer Baby Unicorns. So it's kind of like, yeah, I got to go check this out.
We're talking with corn maze designer Angie Trinan is our guide. What is your favorite corn maze in Wisconsin? Have you ever gotten lost? How did you crack it? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back for more Wisconsin Weekend in a moment here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking corn mazes on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For many people, a favorite family fall tradition is getting lost in a corn maze, and getting found again is always good. Are there corn mazes you consider a work of art? Is doing a maze a fall tradition for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. We're touring mazes around the state with Angie Trinan. She's been designing mazes since 2001, and her farm's 15-acre maze is dedicated to cranes this year. Angie, are there haunted corn mazes this year, or corn mazes that people can do at night that we should check out?
Yeah, I would say that most corn mazes around the state have nighttime hours. Probably not all, but many do, because being in a cornfield at night is kind of a unique experience, and it's very different than during the day. It's not necessarily super scary. It's just a little harder to know where you're at, because you only have this like bubble of light right around you to see. Some mazes are haunted, and many farms will have a haunted attraction that is like associated with the maze, but not necessarily in the maze. One thing about having a haunted maze is it has to be kind of designed to be haunted, so that people move through it in a particular way, so they're not so scared that they're crashing through the corn and, you know, knocking things down. So we don't haunt our maze during most of the season. It's really popular at night. It's really fun at night. We do have a zombie event on one night of the year, the Saturday before Halloween. And then we do put people, scary people in the maze in zombie attire. So, but it's a pretty fun, I mean, it's kind of scary, but it's actually mostly fun because we've got a DJ and everybody's dancing, and it's not as scary as I thought it was going to be. But that's awesome.
Well, I would suppose if you're doing a maze at night, you'd need your flashlights. Would be helpful. You'd need some water. Any other provisions when you go out in the corn maze?
Well, this year for sure. Again, your hiking boots or your rain boots. A hiking stick is not a bad idea. There's some slippery spots in most mazes because the trails are always like hard packed dirt. The scale of the maze prevents people from putting in wood chips or paving or anything like that. But yeah, it's good to bring some water. If you want to be what's really helpful is to bring a clipboard and like highlighters, things like that. And some groups will even bring like walkie talkies so they can kind of split up and stay in contact. So that's pretty hilarious. I mean, it's fun.
It sounds pretty serious.
we got people coming back. I'm always talking to people who've been like, yes, we've been here since the beginning or for the last 15 years. And as they come back year after year, they get better and better at it. And bring more friends and, bring a team. It's awesome.
Well, I was looking online, checking out Hidden Trails Corn Maze, and this year they have it dedicated to Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz.
That looks great. I saw that online, too. A really, really interesting design. And you'll see that, like, a lot of mazes will have a theme, and they'll kind of theme activities around it and talk to people about that, and that's part of the experience where, okay, I'm right in the Dorothy maze, and, I've got the lion, and now I'm in the lion's eye.
And then there's a Creek Bed Country Pharmacy in Poinette, and their corn maze has a trivia theme.
So there's different ways that farm owners will set it up so that you can like solve the maze. Most mazes aren't just like, wander in, wander around. We've discovered that like wandering is very fun for about like 10 minutes or, it's most mazes will give you some kind of mission, or like you have to at each intersection or each checkpoint, you have to say, they'll give you like a list of trivia questions sometimes and say, okay, if you think the answer is A, go this way. If you think the answer is B, go that way. Other places will use more technology, and you can use your phone to find the checkpoints. So one of the interesting things about corn mazes and like fall farms in general is everybody puts a different spin on it. Like what is their vision for it? So you'll go to a maze at our place where we have you put the map together like a little puzzle. That's one of your missions. Or you'll go somewhere else and it's more of a checkpoint or QR code or something like that. So you never know what it's going to be.
I'd imagine that you don't get out much in October to explore other corn mazes.
I wish I could. It would be so much fun to just go around, but with hiring a lot of staff and then just kind of running it and field trips and everything, I don't get to leave the farm very often.
There's also Schuster's Farm in Deerfield that has a large and a small maze, so it sounds like it's kind of an overall for any crowd.
Oh, yeah. We know the Schusters. I happen to have gone to college with Teresa just randomly. I'm like, that's weird. We lived in the same dorm, and we ended up having the same job in the area. And their mazes, yeah, they do a really great maze every year and have a lot of really great activities. And that's also in southern Wisconsin here.
We're talking with Angie Trinan. She's co-owner of Trinan Farm in Lodi, and she designs the farm's corn mazes each year, runs the business. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Angie, does having a corn maze in a field change the way you harvest the corn?
Well, most corn mazes, like ours, we plant a slightly different variety of corn than the corn you'll see as you drive out here. We plant a variety that will mature later, so it'll stay green and like the stalk standing up later into the season, so that we don't have it getting really dry and brittle, early in the season. So because we plant our corn in a grid, that makes it fuller in between the trails. It makes the harvesting a little different. It's not the most efficient way to grow corn, but we do harvest and get a decent yield on it in most years.
How do these farm corn mazes and these offshoot businesses to the family farm impact the financials of the farm? How big of a deal is October for your farm?
It's a really big deal. It's our primary income source. Our farm is actually pretty small as farms go. It's like 200 acres, which sounds like a lot, but if you wanted to grow crops or have a dairy farm or something like that, it's really too small to provide a sufficient income just growing traditional farming things. So a lot of farms our size or smaller will think ahead or think about, how can I do something or grow products that I can market directly to visitors, to customers? Because then you have more control over your income. Like if you're selling corn, you really don't have a lot of options other than selling it on whatever price the market has set it, and that can be terrible often. but when you have an agritourism attraction, you have more control. You can do a much better job, and you can attract more people because your offerings are really interesting and people talk about them. So it has that advantage. The only real there's always downsides, but you have to really like people, and you really have to like interacting with large numbers of people, which just takes a mind shift sometimes from traditional farming to what is my operation about. And it's about providing a great experience.
Right. It's a whole different offshoot to running a farm, a whole different business model, even as you bring people, guests onto your property, into your business, and then giving them an experience on the farm.
Yeah. And, we're fortunate in Wisconsin that many of us live so close to areas that are agricultural. So we have an opportunity to visit farms in the fall. Kids have an opportunity to take field trips on a farm. And so I think in Wisconsin, this part of the country, we have more of a connection. We have to actually do get out there and visit the farms. But there's a place pretty near everybody in Wisconsin where you can get out and be on a real farm or be out in the country. And I think that's really great.
Angie, we had an unusually rainy season this year, which delayed corn planting for lots of farmers. Did that affect at all people's experiences in corn mazes this year?
Well, I know that there's at least a couple mazes in Wisconsin that had so much flooding they actually couldn't get the maize in, or they couldn't get it to grow properly. In our own maze, we were a little worried about some areas that were had standing water in them when we were planting and cutting the maize. They resolved, and the corn actually grew just fine. But if that water had remained, corn doesn't doesn't like that. I think, again, most mazes around at this point because of the rainfall are going to be pretty muddy, but the ones who were open early, you know, they're still open. Usually you can just go. Sometimes people will close for active rain, but,
Angie, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
It's been really fun. Thank you for thanks for thinking of me and come on out to the farm.
That is corn maze designer Angie Trinan and her 15-acre work of art of cranes in Lodi. Coming up, we look at how to use Wisconsin's best fall produce in cooking. What are some of your favorite fall veggies and what's the best way to prepare them? Do you preserve or can your fruit and vegetables? Join in with fall cooking ideas at 800-642-1234. There's more Wisconsin Weekend after this news here on the Ideas Network.